Good morning, Dickinson. You're welcome to Meraya Breakfast Show.
Thank you very much.
And I would like to hear from you. What are the key highlights for this week?
Well, one notable highlight of this week was the very unfortunate plane crash in Wau on Monday afternoon. Incredibly, no one lost their life, but multiple injuries were reported. I say incredibly because the plane crashed and immediately caught fire, and pictures taken after the event showed a totally burnt out wreck. So it was really miraculous that everyone survived. The plane, an Antonov 26 belonging to South Sudan Supreme Company, was flying from the capital Juba to Wau. Now, UN peacekeepers were at the scene of the accident and helped rescue the survivors. The head of the UN peacekeeping mission in South Sudan, David Shearer, praised efforts made by peacekeepers involved in the rescue operation. He said that our peacekeepers worked alongside local emergency personnel in a combined effort, adding that the mission stands ready to assist the people of Wau. And it was peacekeepers from Bangladesh, Nepal and China who were involved in the rescue effort.
Okay, there's been a lot about the movement on the Regional Protection Force. What can you tell us about it?
Well, the head of UN peacekeeping globally, Helvi Ladsous, visited South Sudan this week, and he announced the planned arrival of the first units of the Regional Protection Force within the next weeks. Mr. Ladsous, who is stepping down as the head of UN peacekeeping at the end of the month, visited the country with the Under Secretary General designate, so the next boss, Jean-Pierre Lacroix. This was Mr. Ladsous' last visit to South Sudan as the USG. That's UN insider talk, as you know, Philip, for Under Secretary General. He met the president of South Sudan and told him that it's clearer than ever that the problems the country faces must be solved through political rather than military means. And he said that President Kiir agreed with his assessment. Speaking to the media later in the day, Mr. Ladsous said that the UN was sparing no effort to speed up the deployment of the 4,000 extra troops of the Regional Protection Force, which, as you know, has been mandated by the UN Security Council based in New York. The first peacekeepers from Rwanda, Nepal and Bangladesh will begin arriving in the next weeks. Mr. Ladsous, the Undersecretary General, said that the deployment of the RPF, as we call it, will free a number of UNMISS units in Juba and allow peacekeepers to project more into the countryside doing patrols in order to provide more security for civilians and build confidence. And he emphasised that the protection of civilians is at the heart of the UN's mandate here in South Sudan.
Okay, this week, a commemoration of the International Day for the Elimination of Racial Discrimination on March 21st has been marked. And what has been the UN's take on this?
You're right, Philip. The world commemorated the International Day for the Elimination of Racial Discrimination on March the 21st. The UN High Commissioner for Human Rights, Zayed Raad al-Hussein, who's based in Geneva in Switzerland, called for the prohibition of racist hate speech. Now, that includes the dissemination of ideas based on racial superiority or hatred, incitement to racial discrimination, and threats or incitement to violence. In a press release, he said that in South Sudan, polarized ethnic identities stoked by hate speech have brought the country to the brink of what he called all-out ethnic war.
And the UNMISS head has been on the road again this week.
Yes, he has. Yesterday, Thursday, David Shearer visited Torit in Imatong State for the first time. Now, he heard from community leaders that up to 75% of people living in Imatong State may have left their homes because they cannot get enough to eat. Torit has been largely spared the worst of the 2013 outbreak of conflict in South Sudan, but since July last year, it's been considered a flashpoint by the UN after heavy fighting between the government, SPLA and opposition forces. Now, in 2017, a combination of insecurity, armed robbery on state roads, a deteriorating economy and a lack of fuel has meant that subsistence farmers cannot grow the crops they need to survive, and other farmers can't get their food to market. And as you know, Philip, the region has long been considered the food basket of South Sudan. The UNMISS head, David Shearer, said that many people are just too scared to stay at home, so they've fled and are now refugees in nearby Kenya and Uganda. UNMISS peacekeepers continue to mount patrols in the state and are doing what they can to provide security and build confidence so farmers can return to their land. However, Mr. Shearer said that unless all warring factions lay down their arms, peace will not be possible and the people of South Sudan will continue to suffer. And he said it's always the poorest and most vulnerable who bear the brunt of insecurity and conflict.
Hundreds of people in Bentiu observed World Water Day. Can you tell us more about this?
Yes, on a lighter note, hundreds of people, including school children in Bentiu, gathered to celebrate World Water Day, commemorated every year on the 22nd of March, so that was Wednesday. The focus of the day was on the importance of universal access to clean water, sanitation and hygiene facilities in developing countries. In Bentiu, the celebration was organised by Concern Worldwide, UNICEF and other humanitarian partners. Speaking during the celebration in Bentiu, a UNICEF representative in the Unity area, Elizabeth Mose, emphasised that UNICEF is committed to providing safe and clean drinking water to the South Sudanese population. Now, she added that UNICEF is currently working with humanitarian partners on a project that will provide safe and clean drinking water to the people of Bentiu town, something that's been largely missing since the outbreak of conflict in the country in 2013.
Thank you so much, Mr. Dickinson, for being part of our breakfast show this morning.
It was a pleasure. Thanks very much.
Thank you.